Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Angelo Jeter is with us. This young man is Rock Hill's official poet laureate. I don't know what that means, but we're going to find out about it today on our Straight Talk program. And he is sitting right here, big old smile, happy to be on the program. Yes, and let's start off by getting you to tell us a little bit about Angelo Jeter.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so first of all, thank you, Manny, for having me here. It's really full circle, as I was telling you. used to work for the station back in the day when I was a sophomore and junior in college. So to be here now, being interviewed by you instead of getting directors from you is a little different. but it's great. So so a little bit about me. So I'm originally from Columbia, South Carolina. Lived a few places, Salisbury, North Carolina, Thomasville, North Carolina. Ended up coming to college here at Winthrop in 2004. Graduated in 08 with a BA in political science, and then I got my master's degree from Drexel University in higher ed in 2014. And then I worked a few places, Clinton College, Newberry College, and then been back at Winthrop working for about 4 years now. And in terms of poetry, I've been writing poetry since I've been in middle school, and it's always just really enthralled with what words can do on a page and how it makes you feel free and just liberated and getting your thoughts out there. And so I did that for a while. When I got to college, is when I discovered spoken word. So spoken word is poetry that is meant to be heard or watched versus read. And so if you've ever heard of like Deaf Poetry Jam, those kind of things, button poetry, those are the platforms that made it kind of popular. And so I discovered that, and I've been really running with it ever since and doing competitions and things.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's so, something.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
So over at Winthrop, your function is to do what over there?
Yeah, so my title is Director of Campus Programming. So I advise the Student Activities Programming Board. We do about 60 to 70 events a year, from homecoming, welcome week, orientation. So we bring all different types of performers and acts to campus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a busy job. Yeah,
it's a busy job
for sure.
I'm trying to remember the name. I can see his face right now.
Boy Jones.
Boy.
It's my mentor. So I was on DSU, the Student Activities Board, when I was a student. So now to be back in this capacity, it's been great. And Boyd, I call Boyd all the time for advice, and he just gives me a high five and all that kind of stuff.
Well, tell him I said hello next time you talk to him.
Definitely will, for sure. Absolutely.
So when did you, if you can remember, first take a pencil and put it on a piece of paper and start writing some words that would be known as poetry?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. So I remember in the sixth grade, there was an assignment that she gave us, my teacher at the time. And I think it was just literally just write what you feel, or maybe it was a specific topic. And I remember it was like about a butterfly that I ended up writing about. And like the concept of a butterfly being with love and that kind of stuff. I don't really remember if it was good or not, but I remember feeling like, oh, this is pretty cool, you know? And so really just excited about sharing it. And then my classmates really liked it too. So since then, I just kind of started writing. And like I said, like the evolution of it just kind of came as I got older, you know?
But with poetry, I mean, if you're going to write about a butterfly, you could write an essay about a butterfly.
You could, yeah.
But instead, you're writing poetry.
Right, for sure.
And that's a whole nother thing. Did somebody, like a teacher or somebody, say, you know what, Mr. Jeter, you ought to think about making this essay into a poem? Did they do that, or did you just naturally write a poem?
So I think I just naturally wrote a poem because we were talking about poems, but I have very encouraging teachers, I will say that. I know a lot of people have, and I've had some bad experiences too, but most of my English teachers were very encouraging. So anything, they always gave me good marks on being a good writer and encouraging me to explore it. So, you know, I kind of just started writing, and they just helped me craft it and helped me, you know, explore it more. So I think I've been very fortunate to have that.
I tell you what, it's every time I run into a college student, I tell them, you don't understand how important it is to be able to learn how to communicate, to be able to write. Even though we're in this digital world, you still have to be able to write, not use all these stupid symbols, write a coherent sentence that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's surprising to me on my daily job how many students don't necessarily know how to craft emails or don't know how to, you know, use regular language other than like text lingo. So that's definitely very important. But it's even changed the way poetry is read sometimes because people have like these shorter poems now, what they call like Instagram poems or social media poems, which look like a caption, but they're really short poems because the attention span is a little different now. So you don't want to necessarily write like a 4-page poem if you're going to post it on your social media. So that changes how everything is like absorbed now.
So how does a poem get started in your head? You just see something and say, wow, I think I'm going to jot a few words down.
It depends. So sometimes for me, it can be I always think. I'm a big analyzer. I'm a big thinker. Right. So I'm always coming up with ideas. So I might have the idea for a poem for a while, and then I might like write it then, or I may come back to it later. And then there's times when inspiration is completely strikes out of nowhere, where I'm just sitting here, you know, talking to you, and there's a picture of a sub behind you, and I could go, oh, I'm inspired by the sub behind Manny Kimmel's head, and then I'm going to write something about it. So it just really depends on kind of where I am in my headspace and what I see and what visually I see and what I feel.
You know, here at his substation, too, we always get everybody together in the middle of the show, and we do slice, 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 garden, 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 right?
Okay.
So let that roll around in your head.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, 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 garden. And I want you to, you know, sometime down the road when you're doing nothing,
right,
create a poem.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Yeah. I think we can make that happen.
Oh, my goodness. So you've been doing this just out of a hobby or an interest.
Right.
And you say you've been entering competitions?
Yeah, so there's a thing called Poetry Slam. So Poetry Slam is so it's mostly spoken word format, and it's a competition where poets, you do your poem for about 3 minutes and 10 seconds, and then you have judges randomly selected from the audience. So literally, if you come to a poetry slam, they say, have you ever been to one before? You say no, and they can make you a judge. So random people from the audience, and they judge you from a 0.0 to a 10.0, drop the high and low scores, and the 3 middle scores make your score. So the highest you can get for a poem is like a 30. And so I've done those. And then competed like locally, competed on campus when I was a student. And then I did some regional competitions, did really well in those when I was a student. And then I eventually did some national ones that placed very high. And then won, actually in 2018, my poetry team and I, so I'm a part of a team, and we won the National Poetry Slam. So that's it's like the Super Bowl of poetry, if you will.
Really?
So it's poems from poets from all over the country. And Canada usually comes to and competes in that. And so, we're the National Poetry Slam champions right now.
What year did you win that?
2018. 2018 was the
2018.
Last one. Yeah, and they took a year off, and then this year they're bringing the National Poetry Slam back. It's going to be in Dallas, Texas this coming year.
You going to enter again?
We'll see. So the way it works is you make a team. Each city has a team, a poetry team.
Right.
So you have to make the city's team. So I have to still compete to make the Charlotte, North Carolina team. And then if that goes well, which hopefully it does, then I'll be on the team to compete at Nationals against
the
cities.
You were on the Charlotte team when you won
correct.
This 2018.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So why don't we get a Rock Hill team?
Yeah, so I would love to do that at some point. I think right now we just haven't had a significant amount of interest in terms of
people. Well, here's the poet
the
right over here. This
guy, here we go.
He's a poet.
There we go. Yeah, let's do it. but in terms of like the spoken word format, the people I know that have done it in Rock Hill, there are a few of us. But the folks that do it typically are students. And, you know, when students leave, they don't come. They don't stay in Rock Hill when they graduate.
Right.
So we haven't had that significant interest. So that's why Charlotte has been where I've gone.
Well, now you work over here at the esteemed, world-famous
right.
Winthrop University.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Surely.
Yeah.
There are professors over there who are into poetry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some great professors over there, for sure.
We need to get them on the team.
Yeah, we see we can make it happen. Yeah,
huh?
For sure.
You get them together, and then we're going to do it. We'll do a straight talk show
okay.
before you go off to the national championship.
Okay. Okay. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can make it happen.
So
no promises.
There he is already. So the team that you had in Charlotte.
Yes.
There are how many people on the team?
So there's 5 poets on the team, and there's a coach as well who is a poet.
A coach?
Yeah. So this is a whole thing. It's a whole culture, you know. Really, honestly.
Was this men and women or just guys?
Men and women. So on the team we had this past year, there were 4 men and then one female was on the team.
I'll be doggone.
Last year.
Wow, there he is.
Oh yeah, he's looking at
Slam Charlotte. This is my. What we call it? My social media director here.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
Dr. Oliver here.
He did that very smooth.
Oh,
I need to hire you.
he lives with us.
I might can't afford you, right. but you know.
Here's his office saying, "Why? Where are you? You're supposed to be working."
Right. Yeah, so Slam Charlotte, and I know this is a lot of lingo I'm giving you, but Slam Charlotte is the poetry team in Charlotte. And they've actually, well, we have won the National Poetry Slam 3 times in the history of the competition. So that's the most of any other city.
What were the other years? You won 2018.
2007, 2008, and 2018.
Golly dang.
So other cities have won it twice, but we're the first to win it 3 times. So it's been really, really amazing experience. Also, just to do a plug, there's another competition called the Individual World Poetry Slam. And so this one is not a team-based. This is just individual poets competing against each other, right?
Right.
And this past year, 2 of my teammates actually tied for first place. So they're both number one in the world. Jay Ward and Breeze are the number one poets in the world right now. And then my other teammates, Jordan Bailey, Blues, and Coco Flo, are top 20 in the world. So
wow.
we're literally some of the best poets in the world right now.
So did you enter this individual world poetry?
Unfortunately,
slam?
I didn't. I had to work during that time. So, yeah, I know. I really
that
wanted
damn
to.
Damn thing called work always gets in the way, huh?
I know. I really hated it. I really hated that. But I'm super proud of them. Super happy at what they've done and what we're doing for the city.
So the topic can be whatever you're inspired to write about?
Yeah, it's pretty much it's free verse poetry. So it's not rhyme necessarily. It can be if you want it to be. It's no topic. It's whatever you do and whatever you feel. And like I said, the judges just score the poem based on how they feel. So if you go to a poetry slam and you really like the piece, you can give it an 8.5 or a 9.2. If you really don't like it, you can give it a 3.1. I've seen that, you know, so.
But what is really neat is the difference between poetry that you're going to read versus poetry that you're going to read. I mean,
exactly.
Out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. Woo. Yeah, it's different. And so spoken word is primarily done from memory. So when I do spoken word pieces, it's straight. I'm just reciting it.
Whoa. Hold on a second here. Now you're causing me to jump forward a little bit.
Okay, sure.
I, for the audience.
Yes.
I sat at the MLK breakfast here a few weeks ago.
There you go.
And listen to this guy recite a poem that initially I had no idea where he was going. But, boy, the finale was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had a crowd of whatever it was, 500 or 600 or 700 people just sitting on the edge of your seat. Are you telling me you did that all from memory?
No, that one wasn't from memory. So there's some poems what you call page poems that are meant to be read. So that poem is what I would call a page poem. So I need to read it, I think, in order for you to really get it. So doing that from memory doesn't give you the same emotion.
Yeah.
But there are other poems that are better if I'm just reciting it and performing it because I'm using my body language, I'm using my facial expressions, and you can't necessarily get that if you're just reading a piece.
Boy, you were into that one. That was a
fan. Yeah, and I was into it. I still did it, but it's a different feeling when you read it versus when you're just watching it.
Absolutely. So how long did it take you to do that poem? And what prompted you to do it?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second question first. So I was approached by Carlo Dawson and some of the other members that helped organize the prayer breakfast about performing. And so I thought it would be only right to do something fresh just for that event, not anything I've ever done before. So I wanted to make it special for that. And then I asked them about the theme of the day, and it was building bridges of faith, education, and freedom. Right. So I was thinking about bridges, the concept of that. And so that's what kind of spawned the piece. If I had to say, because I write in phases, so like I wrote for a little bit and I stepped away and came back. So if I had to give an amount of time, I say it took about 45 minutes total, maybe 45 minutes to an hour, maybe, and then to craft that.
45 minutes to an hour? You did that in that short a period of time?
Yeah. It worked out. Yeah. Again, that was in pieces, right? So it might have been 5 minutes here, 20 minutes here.
I don't care what it was in. But and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
The first part of the poem was about I'll call it the dark side of the history of Rock Hill.
Right.
You know, some of the civil rights issues that the community faced.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you flipped.
Right.
And said, look what we've done recently and look
Absolutely.
What we're doing now. Is that
Absolutely.
About right?
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't even say the first part was specific to Rock Hill. There's some things that can definitely apply. But it's just about the concept of how, as America, we've experienced some very dark times and been in some dark places. And so I wanted to convey that in a universal kind of way and then talk specifically about how Rock Hill is combating that and doing things differently moving forward. So that was the whole premise behind that poem, for sure.
What did you do with the poem? Do you still have it, I hope?
I do still have it. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Are you going to print it? The city is going to frame it?
We're talking about doing some things with it, for sure. So not really sure what that's going to look like. I probably will put it in a collection of some sort. But, yeah, we're thinking about also maybe putting it in a public place so that people can see it. So,
I want you to give me a copy of that poem, and I want your signature on it.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it was marvelous.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it really was.
Thank you, Manning. I appreciate it.
It was riveting. And I wish, you know, I bet you I think I still have that at the in the archive back at the radio station.
Okay.
I bring it out and play it again because it was it was good. It was good.
And I might have it on my phone if you want me to read it. I could probably do it again if you need to at some point.
Well, we might do that. I tell you what, because we're going to take our mid-program break, which means we're going to have a few minutes.
All right.
If you've got your phone, start looking into that.
All right.
And we're going to remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, as I reminded you, Poet Laureate, we have a magical thing we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We have our own poem, and it tells about what we do here every day of the week, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes, all right? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
See, yeah, we're all poet laureates. Way to go. Back after
snap,
these words.
Snap afterwards. You
got to snap. Okay, snap. All right.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log into Founders online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Comporium Medical Alert.
It was important that my siblings and I recognized that Dad wanted to be independent, but we also wanted to be able to make sure that he was okay. So we started researching medical alert systems. Then we found this system. It's a little button that he can wear around his neck as a pendant or on his belt. He speaks directly into it, just like he's talking on a cordless phone.
But my kids and grandkids are the most important thing in the world to me. I don't like to ask for help, but it is nice to know that if I ever need it, it's just a touch of a button away.
For complete details, go online to comporiumalert.com.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway, and it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with Angelo Jeter, Rock Hill's Poet Laureate. And before we go any further, I want you to tell me what a poet laureate is and how this all came about.
For sure. So a poet laureate is officially, technically like the official poet of whatever city, state, or province that you're part of. So there's a U.S. poet laureate, there's a state poet laureate in every state, and then certain cities or counties have city or county poet laureates. And so basically your job is to promote literacy and be an ambassador for writing and creativity in your communities. So so that's basically what that position is. And then because it's such a broad term and a broad thing, you usually can create whatever you want to create. So, of course, you do like readings, write special poems for things. But also, if you have special initiatives that you want to do, every poet laureate does something different. So my initiative is really getting into the schools and working with youth and really just elevating the concept of writing and art in the community. We have some great artists. I think sometimes art gets a little bit overlooked here. So my job would be to just amplify that a little bit more than what it already is. So
how did it come about? I mean, did the mayor call you one day and say, I want you to be the poet laureate?
I wish it was that simple. But there was an application interview process. We went through that. And originally, it actually was another person that was initially selected last year. And then that person chose to resign. And then so this year, this time, when it came back around, I was approached directly about this position. So I was a finalist the first time. And so that's been a blessing really ever since.
So we've had a poet laureate in Rock Hill for years.
Yeah. So, well, for the term would have been for until now, but they were only poet laureate for a few months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's a relatively new position.
Yeah, it's a new position. Yes, I'm the second poet laureate for our city.
So now, I want everybody to sit back and listen to this poem, because this thing's going to rock you. At least it rocked me. Maybe I'm out to lunch, but there were 700 or 800 other people rocked. Yeah, okay.
He's always out to lunch.
All right, so what do we call this poem? This was the poem that you did at the MLK breakfast.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Does it have a title?
It does. It's called And Still.
And Still.
Yes, sir.
All right, you got the microphone. Here we go.
All right. A wise man once said that freedom isn't free. That liberation is a tax most of us are too bankrupt to pay for, too poor to open our mouths to speak and manifest. Some say that freedom is a shackle, a chain many of us have yet to break, a burden that weighs us down, like there are anchors in our ankles, cinder blocks in our calf muscles designed to restrict our movements and stop us from rising to new heights. Because it is hard to jump when your feet have been tied to the ground. It is hard to walk when you've never been taught how to stand on your own principles. It is impossible to smile when you have nothing to smile for. And unfortunately, for some of us, America hasn't always been the land of the free or the home of the brave. We were not all born with silver spoon and full belly. We were not all draped in golden robes and trinkets fit for kings. Some of us had to run pennies together trying to make dimes. Some of us had to work 3 jobs just to survive. Some of us had to get it out the mud, to grind for the sake of grinding, to live when there were days when a casket seemed like a better home for our bones. Some of us have been laid off, discarded, dismissed, disjointed, and disapproved. Some of us had to push, even when the world was trying to pull us apart. And if you look around, the world is still trying to pull us apart. Look at us, rich and poor, black and white, Republicans and Democrats, believers and non-believers. We have become prisoners to these labels, confined to baseless barriers designed to trap us, to keep us separate and unequal, divided by differences instead of being unified by our humanity. And the truth is, we have more in common than we realize, that although we may be raised on opposite sides of the track, we are all worthy of steering the train. And in Rock Hill, we become a city of conductors, racing through the railways of division to show that a broken road is not a dead end. It simply means we have to build a bridge to bring both sides together. In Rock Hill, we believe that freedom is our birthright. The brain is the key to unlocking our potential, and we can open worlds and galaxies by turning off the dead bolts of discouragement. In Rock Hill, we have no room for racism, no vacancies for bigotry, no opening for oppression. We open our doors when these ugly visitors rear their heads across our doorstep. In Rock Hill, we believe our children are the lighthouse, which can guide us through dark moments. A book is the gateway to their future, and this is why Rock Hill reads. In Rock Hill, we believe in Martin's dream, in the fierce urgency of now. We believe that planting mustard seeds of faith will always produce gardens of love. Here, in the little town, on a big hill, we are steady conductors, steering the locomotives of life, carrying the cargo of hope. Still pressing, still pushing, still believing, and still here.
Damn, that's like wonderful. I told you. I mean, if you get a couple of lugheads like this to get me, I mean, that was great.
Thank you so much.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'd say, well, you need to read that like every year.
Okay.
At the MLK. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah. I could do that. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. We'll I'm not see. On the committee, but I'm making the recommendation. Jeez, that's a really
so
powerful piece.
Thank you God so much. Day. Thank you so much. I appreciate
All right.
that.
So now you're the poet laureate.
Yes, sir.
Your object is to go out into the schools.
Right.
And promote literacy.
Correct.
Which, you know, good for you. Because right. if people would, as we talked about before, would mm-hmm. learn to write,
right.
learn to speak, as I call it, the King's English.
Right, right, know? Right, right.
It's okay to have street talk, but it's quite another to have regular talk
right,
so
right.
people can understand.
Straight talk.
Yeah, straight talk, that's it. And enjoy the thing called reading.
Right, for sure.
Opens up so many doors to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
So when you go out to schools and you have this conversation mm-hmm. with all these kids who have all these issues, I right. don't know how educators deal with it. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Do you see a glimmer? Do you see some light? Like,
right.
this is making a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've done it for a while in the city, and it's about to ramp up now. But when I've gone, every time I've gone into a school, I think it just opens their mind to what possibilities there are with words. And so I think that's the thing. So when it comes to poetry, it's about, in writing in general, it's about the entry point. Like, at what point does this interest you and attract you? So Shakespeare doesn't necessarily attract me. Walt yeah. Whitman, it does. But it's different when I hear like a Jericho Brown, or when I hear a Nikki Giovanni, or something like that. Like, those poems attracted me in a different way, right? So I think it's about the access point and the entry point to getting them interested in it. So when they see me doing spoken word and they also see me reading poems, it's like, oh man, I can do this. Like, this is something different and new than what I thought I could do before. So my goal is to show the different ways that they can get involved and use their writing to make a difference for themselves, and also just to express themselves. And so if that turns them into poets, that's great. If it doesn't, but if it at least opens their mind to something different, then I've done my job.
So what is Angelo Jeter going to do with this skill? I mean, you're something. I mean, yeah. you really are something.
Thank you, yeah.
I mean, is this something you would like to blossom into a full-time profession or career?
Absolutely, yeah. So eventually I would love to be a full-time artist. So working my way to that now. I'm already a professional artist because I've done, you know, professional things. But in terms of just being able to do it as my full-time job, I would love to do that. My plan is this coming year to release at least one book, maybe two. So that's the thing. Also getting published in different journals, in publications, etc. So definitely want to expand my brand, not only with the spoken word style and the slams, but also on page as well.
So when you say a book, this would be a book of Angelo's greatest poems, or would it
be? Yes, it'll be a book of poetry for sure. Right now I have two book ideas. So one of those book ideas is primarily composed of poems I already have, with some that I'm writing right now. And then the other book is newer work and some work that's yet to be written. So they have like a theme. Each book will have a theme to it, like an idea or a concept behind it.
So. How many poems do you think you've written?
Ooh.
Hundreds?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Over time, for sure.
And if I was to look into your head,
uh-huh.
how many more are swirling around in there?
I mean, it's swirling right now?
Yeah.
You mean that I have? Like,
well,
that,
I mean,
that I could do? There's a lot in here. Probably with 20 or 30, I say I could do. If you wanted me to do one, I probably could figure out how to do it. Even if it's been a while. So it's a funny story. So the other day I was, when I did the thing on the bus the other week, and we can talk about that. Someone was asking me to do a specific poem. I hadn't done that poem in a good 8 years. So I didn't do it, but I was in my head like, oh, I think if I really tried, I could stumble through it, but I wouldn't want to stumble through it. So there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of stuff that's in my head, but I had to refresh myself on some things for sure.
Well, I'd have you do that, except we're running out of time.
Yeah. No problem. No problem. I know you would.
I just think it's wonderful that you got this skill set. And
thank you so much.
That you now are Rock Hill's official poet laureate.
Yes, sir.
And, and that's what it's called. And still,
yes,
right?
Still. Yes, sir.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Well,
so
Angelo,
much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, man.
Good luck to you, buddy.
It.
Keep
yes,
us
sir.
Posted on what you're doing with these
Absolutely.
Competitions. All right.
For sure. Definitely.
All
will.
Right.
Definitely. Will.
Angelo Jeter, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where people even like Jimmy Johnson know what we do here. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. Everybody's got to jump up. Zamorski, you're on deck there. You're 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
What a poem. What a poem. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.